Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody. It's been a little while since I got to record with you, at least.
Who else has?
Well, didn't you have some guests or something?
No.
I could have sworn you did.
No.
While I was out of town?
No. No. But even if we get hacked, you can still use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com. I know I'm subtle, aren't I?
Man, you really forced that one in there. So what do I get if I use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com?
You get 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, 50% off of a single item, and free U.S. shipping. And that's even if we get hacked.
And so let's see here. We're talking about immigration reform tonight, right?
Absolutely. Because that's what people tune into this show for. People tune into this show to hear about what the fuck topics.
Exactly. Why not? So tonight we are talking about hacking, which is really... could you wipe off the microphone?
Not that kind of hacking?
Not that kind of hacking.
Oh, okay. I thought I was being funny. Never mind.
No. You weren't.
That actually hurt my throat forcing myself to do that,
good,
too.
Good.
So now I actually have to.
Between banging your arm on walls and hurting your throat, this show, you're really throwing your entire body into it.
I'm 100% kind of guy.
It's true. And I did actually punch you in the dick one time too, didn't I?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Anyway.
So yeah, tonight we're going to talk hacking. We're going to keep going on our computer series. Okay, the reason hacking is so relevant today, and I do mean today, is just in the last couple of weeks, the United States has declared hacking an act of war.
Yes.
If China, for example, hacks us, they are declaring war on the United States.
Yes.
And the ironic part of this, as we were setting that up, we were hacking all of our allies to see if they were hacking us.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Is the irony lost on you, Scott?
No, it really... I hate to say it, but everything you expect your enemies to be doing, you had better be doing it yourself already. So... I mean, that's the nature of war. But also, internal hacking. For instance, if somebody decides to go after a government server or something like that, that is now officially an act of terrorism.
Yeah, and you would make yourself an enemy combatant.
Yes.
And I think that's... Okay, I think it's taking it too far. I think, okay, like if China hacks us, okay, that's another country... But if some fucking kid decides to go all war games on us, I don't consider that really terrorism.
Why not?
Because, for one thing, unless they're actually part of a terrorist organization or have terrorist intentions, most likely the hack is going to be either just informational or, frankly, accidental. Whoa. There were a few cases in the 80s where people hacked into government computers not knowing what they were hacking into. Should they be a terrorist just for being an asshole?
Then my question is, what if it's done on purpose by a U.S. citizen? Say, oh, I don't know, maybe some random defense information contractor gets a hold of some information that can be very, very damaging to the, the NSA or...
Well, it depends. If malicious intent is a very different thing.
And it's really difficult to prove or
disprove. No, because you can prove it depending on what you do with that information. You go and sell it on the black market, you got malicious intent. You go and leak it to the internet, not exactly malicious, more mischievous intent.
I don't know. That sounds pretty malicious to me. I mean, getting it out there so that any of our enemies could see, maybe the ones you're working for.
So are you one of the people that believe Edward Snowden is a traitor to the United States?
I haven't made up my mind on him yet.
I believe he's a hero. I think he did what had to be done. I think he exposed an evil that needed to be exposed. Yeah, I think all the people who are calling for Snowden's head are people that are government shills.
See, I think I agree with you. I think he did what needed to be done. But at the same time, just looking at it on the side of the law, he did take an oath. So I don't know.
But I'm
dead serious. But I don't know.
When you take an oath to uphold the law. What they were doing in most cases was illegal, because they have to have, even with the Patriot Act, the way it's written, you have to have some suspicion that somebody is doing something. You even with the Patriot Act, you can't just listen to everybody in case they're doing something.
See, he didn't take an oath to uphold the law, though. He took an oath to withhold the secrets.
Which is a bunch of bullshit. That's legal maneuvering right there. That's what that is. But hacking, we discussed it a little bit in a previous episode, how real life hacking is not like what you see in the movies.
Exactly.
And what you see in TV. Explain what real hacking is.
Real hacking is boring. Actually, there are three pieces to any information security system: hardware, software, and wetware. And hardware hacking means that you go in and you physically tie whatever little system you want, whether it's a telephone listening post, whether it's a little data collector or something like that. You physically tie it into the wires. And there are quite a few contractors out there that will do that.
Well, but you've also, like, you know, you and I brought up before when we were talking about, like, Kevin Mitnick and that. Social engineering is a big part of hacking. It's not just, you know, randomly tapping keys and I'm through their firewall. It's pretty much schmoozing people.
That's wetware hacking. Wetware is a rather complex system made up of anywhere from pink to brown squishy bits situated behind the keyboard.
And it's called social engineering.
Social engineering is the nice way to put it.
A lot of people would just say you con men. I mean, Kevin Mitnick was a con man.
And us geeks call it wetware hacking. But that's what it is. It's a lot of calling, you know, calling the IT department, hey, this is Bill Hicks up in, you know, floor 44, and I'm having a problem with my password and blah. And you talk to the IT guy trying to get him to go, you know, well, I think my username is this. And he goes, no, actually, sir, on file, your username is this.
Yeah, you basically manipulate a person into giving up something that they would otherwise not have.
Exactly.
And therefore allowing you in. And then you've got, like, the... Now, I don't know if I'd consider this hacking or so much as just malicious, but the stuff like keyloggers and things like that, where people put a piece of software into your computer, your system, without your knowledge, that tracks for later use what you're doing.
Yeah, something like a keylogger can either be software, and it can say log keys for 24 hours and then send those keystrokes via email somewhere, or the most common and the one of the hardest to detect keyloggers is actually an inline deal that goes... Nowadays, it's usually USB, but it used to be the little PS2 port that your keyboard used to plug into.
Okay.
And you can plug it right in line there, and it sits and logs the keys. And when you want them, you wait till you're cleaning the office, you know, or something like that, and unplug it, plug in their keyboard, and walk away with it, and boom. You look for an email and something that looks like a password.
I always like the ones where you're like a spy movie or a spy TV show, and, you know, they're pretending to be the janitor, and they stick that flash drive in, and it just starts downloading whatever they want without them even touching any keys.
Exactly.
And then you got the progress bar, and they're like, oh my God, they're almost here. I've only got 20% left. And I always love that shit. That's not even remotely realistic, but I love that shit.
And for some reason, file transfers to USB drives or something like that move at like 56K speeds.
Well, because it's called dramatic tension, yeah, Scott. It's because otherwise it's just watching them put the flash drive in and go, all right, I'll be back in a couple hours to collect this.
Sure. But, I mean, you can also hack software by completely overwriting an operating system. You've got things like Nopix and Unix on a stick and stuff like that where you shut off the computer, you either drop in a CD in the old days, or you plug in, nowadays you can plug in a USB stick, turn on the computer, and instead of booting up on the C drive and running, say, Windows or
I've actually accidentally almost done that a few times where, you know, the computer will crash and I'll have a flash drive in,
sure,
and then you'll restart and it tries to start off the flash drive and no operating. Do you know how much your heart, my butthole puckers and my heart just starts thumping when I see no operating system found on startup? Oh, it's because of the flash drive. Thank God.
But that's the thing. You can take us. They have operating systems that are small enough now that they'll fit on a really,
well,
relatively
right, but
flash drive.
But when you just blue screen and then you get operating system not found, you panic.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You just, I mean, I'm sorry. I've had that happen a couple of times just because I forget to take the fucking flash drive out before I restart the computer.
What's really funny is that actually happened to me a while back. My computer, not this laptop, but the one before, blue screened on me. And I had, of all things, the iPod plugged in. I had the old classic iPod with the click wheel.
The white one?
No, it was black. It was an iPod Classic, but it had the little touch click wheel in it.
Okay.
And it tried to boot off of that. I was like, what are you doing? How? You're not supposed to do that.
I bet that didn't work out too well.
No, it really didn't. But that's okay.
Well, but you've also got other kind of hacks, like people that hack their video game system.
Sure.
You know, you got people that hack the PS, I don't know if the PS3 is able to do this, but the PS2 and the Xbox 360, so you can play modded games, you can play illegal games, you can play burned games,
yep,
shit like that. I don't know how to do that, but I know people that do. They have people that have offered, but they always give you the caveat, this might destroy your system.
Yep.
And I'm like, not worth it then. It's not worth it. If it could wreck my system, then no, didn't leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, well, if a video game system is out there, it's been hacked. People were hacking their old Atari 2600s.
You didn't even need to do that. Remember, you'd never get away with this today. Remember they used to sell the Atari player for other systems?
Oh, yeah.
Where you, people might not realize this, you could actually buy a legal attachment that would connect to your ColecoVision or your Intellivision that would allow you to play Atari 2600
sure
games.
Sure.
Could you see that today? Could you see Sony selling something that would allow you to play Xbox games on your PS3?
Well,
that would be so illegal, Scott.
You know who put the kibosh on that?
I'm assuming Atari, because they were probably
pissed
off.
Nope. They were pissed, but they had no legal precedent.
Nintendo then.
Yeah, the one that created the legal precedent was Nintendo of America.
Well, Nintendo committed a lot of intellectual property fraud when we found out a lot of the things that they did legally in the 80s turned out to not exactly be legal by the 90s.
Yeah, well.
You know, so I don't really put a whole lot of faith in Nintendo. I mean, this is the same Nintendo that sued over Donkey Kong and then found out that, oh, shit. Not only do we not own it, but neither does Universal. Shit.
Yeah.
They actually tanked their own case by going too deep into the research. So I don't really trust Nintendo's legal department at all.
Me, what are you going to do?
But for hacking, you've got, like, the ones I always remember are the 80s ones. The ones, the people that call themselves the Legion of Doom. And we discussed them briefly before, where they had a couple of members that were on each side of the line. Some people that just wanted information. They wanted to break into the phone system. They wanted to copy everything, and they wanted to learn how it worked. And then they had other ones who were basically malcontents who wanted to break into the system and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Those are the dangerous ones.
And you had groups, and you still have groups of hackers that play all of the lines. I mean, Legion of Doom, you mentioned. You also had Cult of the Dead Cow, which I believe is still around. Nowadays, anytime you hear about hacking, you hear about Anonymous, which, while a very, very odd group, is still a hacking, there is still a hacktivist bunch of, side.
They're a bunch of fucking pansies. They're a bunch of fucking tools. Well, and Anonymous is in the news again for the Steubenville rape case.
Yep.
Do you know all the details of that bullshit?
Go ahead.
No, I'm asking, do you?
I believe we talked about it before where...
Well, because what basically happened, you know what's happened in Steubenville, and the idiots who posted all their stuff to social media went and deleted their stuff because they weren't total idiots. They were only 95% idiots.
Right.
So a hacker associated with Anonymous broke into their shit, found all the stuff that actually ended up getting them convicted. And he's looking at three times the prison stay that they are because he broke federal law, they broke state law.
Yep.
So that is such monstrous bullshit because there is hacking for a good cause. Something like that. Yes, he technically broke the law. Not only did he do it for the right purpose, but the lawmakers were breaking the law by not even wanting that information. We don't really want this case to go to trial, so we don't want... Shit. There's video of it. God damn it.
Yeah, and that's called hacktivism. And it's been around... I mean, hacking used as a form of protest, which is really what hacktivism is. And even in the Steubenville case, that was an act of protest. No, I'm not going to let these assholes get away with that. Here's my protest. Have this information.
Right.
You know, when you think about hacktivism in the 70s, you think about a lot of the protests against Ma Bell. And back when there was the phone company, period.
Yes.
You would have hacktivists breaking the phone system and proving how it doesn't work just so that they could kind of stick it to the man because the man was charging you, what was it, almost, I think, $4 a month per phone that you had to rent from them.
Well, but then there was also, moving into the 80s with the phone system, what the Legion of Doom did. Now, this is where I don't know where to fall because there's evidence on both sides. There's evidence to support their innocence and evidence to support their guilt. At one point when the Legion of Doom broke into the phone system in California, they claim it was accidental. They accidentally moved some shit around, which caused the entire California phone system to collapse, which caused chaos for about a week where there was almost no phone system, no 911, anything. So when they finally got caught, they were charged with all these crimes. They claim it was a fucking mistake. Technically, yeah, they shouldn't have been in there moving files around anyway. So if they did not do it maliciously, they still fucked up big time. And I think they should have been held accountable for fucking up. But I think the government came down on them way harder than they should have, assuming there was no malicious intent. Now, knowing some of the Legion of Doom members liked to go and fuck shit up, I kind of go, I don't know. I think some of them really thought that was a good thing.
All acts of hacking do come in shades of gray. I mean, you know, everybody... A lot of hacktivists think, and they'll go in and they'll deface Hezbollah's webpage.
Do you remember, and I'm not changing the subject, do you remember the 1995 movie Hackers, what happened to that?
What part of it? Because, yes, I remember
What happened promotionally? They put out the Hackers website. And I got to remember, this is 1995, so relatively early .com.
Yeah.
The day after it was put up, it was hacked.
Well, yeah.
And they, I think in a pretty brilliant move, the studio said, let's use this as publicity.
Exactly.
And, you know, see, this is exactly what the movie's about. And, you know, it was kind of brilliant. But I don't know if really, you know, committing a federal crime to bitch about a movie is really worth it. But
well, I mean, it
seen yet.
It depends. It really depends. I don't think it was a federal crime, but it depends.
They went through the phone system that made it a federal crime.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, when you talk about hacktivism, defacing websites, that's a common deal of hacktivism. You know, going.
I've been hit three times now.
Well, your website gets taken down. There's a difference.
Well, no, Jackalope's been hit as well.
That's true.
And it was because of me, because they rooted through the Radiodrome files.
But, you know, defacing, you don't actually hurt anything on the actual files of the website. You just kind of hide them and put your own message up. Like PBS got hit and somebody piped porn into their video players. So kids would go to watch Sesame Street and would see porn. What the statement behind that was, I don't know, but...
And I can see that actually being illegal on a couple of levels, just on the technical legal level, too.
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so...
But, you know, like in the situation with me, when the first time I didn't have my own website at this point. When they hacked Jackalope the first time, they started deleting files. Taking them off the server and going, nope, gone. And the reason they know it was me, it was... only What the Fuck, Radiodrome, and Lost in the Statics that they were deleting. So somebody broke in there to go, fuck this guy.
Yeah, and that's malicious. That's malicious. I'm all for a good defacing and seeing a website, you know, defaced and seeing your whatever message up there you want. But when you start deleting files, yeah, guys, I agree. Josh can be a real asshole, and people can go after him, and I don't blame you for it, because God knows the arguments and discussions we've had in real life. I gotta side with him every now and then, but to be deleting our hard work, it's not nice. It's not good.
To be fair, I'm a paranoid individual.
I know.
I have multiple backups.
I know.
And some offline as well. I have hard drives and CDs full. You can erase all the shit you want. I still have files, shitheads.
Yeah. I got them too. So, but still not cool.
No. And you know, and then it happened again and again and again. And it just got to the point where it's like, are you trying to tell me something? Because all you're doing is basically screaming like a little child going, look at me. And I'm not going to.
Okay.
But so when, there's also the other kind of hacking.
Okay.
And that is both malicious and just kind of evil. When, like, a lot of people might not even consider this hacking. You may not. I don't know where you fall on this. We're, like, breaking into someone's bank account, stealing all their money, and running off with it. That is hacking. And it's also, not only is it evil because you're committing a major crime, but all of a sudden, they have to try and pick up your bill. Though that, to me, is a sociopath who cares nothing about another individual.
See, I don't know if I don't consider that. I don't consider that hacking, because to me, hacking, it can be malicious, but it's not a pointed theft. Dealing with somebody's bank account is something a little bit. There has to be some cracking into that. You've got to get into the bank system itself, which is not easy.
Not necessarily. If you get their fucking PIN number and their account number, that's what the mob does.
See, but that's just. There's no message behind it.
No, it's just malicious.
Right. To me, hacking, there's always a message behind it, whether it's somebody at home going, I wonder if I can break this security, or whether it's somebody putting up a political message, or whether it's somebody who's 12 and being curious and maybe some kind of computer savant. There is drive, and you don't, unless an individual is a public figure, you don't normally go after individuals.
Right.
See, when you break into a bank system or get somebody's PIN or use a little bit of hardware when you swipe your card at the gas station, there's a really simple cover to build that will just fit right over that and swipe the card. They collect the information and then
I remember that was big in the 90s. I remember that scam. Yeah,
you know, you've got that deal. That that to me is, yeah, it is hacking, but it's in a different realm. It's just being an asshole hacking versus being an asshole with a message hacking.
Well, what about, now I, this is from a movie, but I don't know if this was based on a true case or not. The beginning of the movie Hackers, when Acid Burn hacks into the TV station because he wants to watch an Outer Limits episode. So he just decides, I want to watch the Outer Limits. Everyone else gets to watch the Outer Limits too. Is that kind of just the attitude? Because I know a lot of hackers that are like that, that, you know what? I decide what you're going to like.
And that's generally younger hackers. That's generally younger hackers that go, that's somebody sitting at home going, I want control over something, anything. My mom's a bitch. My dad's a jerk and they both drink and I can't control anything in my life. I want control over something. That's a whiny little shithead is what that is. Especially with today's technology, we can pretty much go to YouTube or whatever you want.
Again, this is from a 1995 I know.
But, you know, nowadays I don't think that would be quite so much of an issue.
All right, well, then let's go to a different aspect of hacking. The difference, and I'm not talking about like the difference between watching it in movies, you know, we've discussed that. The difference in what people think can be done by hacking and what can actually be done by hacking.
I don't want to talk about that. That's one of the greatest powers you've got as a hacker with even just
To debunk this.
With just a little bit of information and you can wow people.
No,
and
Scott, we're going to debunk this.
No.
For instance, when Kevin Mitnick was arrested, he was not allowed to use a telephone.
Right.
He was not allowed to even get near anything electronic, because somehow, I don't know if it was ignorance from the judge didn't give a shit, I don't know. The prosecution was able to, at his arraignment, convince the judge that if Kevin Mitnick had access to a telephone, I swear I am not exaggerating this, Scott, okay? That he would be able to hack into NORAD and get launch codes for nukes.
Yes.
Overreach just a little bit?
No, that's completely possible.
Yeah, in the 90s, sure it was.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, seriously, how dumb do you have to be to think that that's possible? Or how just, I don't give a fuck, does that have to be?
Not really just, I don't give a fuck. It was ignorance. And you got to remember that until recently, until I'd say about 1998, people were extremely, we still kind of have the baby boomers in charge. They're not dying fast enough, but you know, we have a generation that my mom is still wowed by computers. She was wowed by the fact that an Atari 2600, you could move the joystick and that little yellow square would leave the castle and go get the sword and get chased by the scary duck. But, you know,
it was supposed to be a dragon, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
He's talking about adventure.
Somebody get this duck away from me. But, you know, that's the generation that we get is they're wowed by that. Let alone, you know, in a lot of older people's minds, computers are these magical, mystical boxes that can do just about anything. And when you've got somebody who is truly ignorant in charge, you're going to get truly ignorant and stupid, overblown reactions.
Well, then what does that say? Does that say more about the prosecutor or the judge? Do you think the prosecutor really believed that, or he was just trying to make sure Kevin's, because you got to remember, Kevin Mitnick was an example. They were making an example of Kevin Mitnick because he was the highest profile hacker they'd ever caught. So do you think it was the prosecutor saying, I'm going to make an example and I'm going to really oversell this? Or it was the judge just kind of going, sure, I guess they can do that.
It was probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I mean, you know, if the prosecutor didn't want to make an example, he wouldn't go for that. And if the judge knew anything, he wouldn't go for it either. So you kind of had to have both hand in hand there in that specific example.
What about another real-life example that I swear to God is going to sound like I'm making it up, but I'm not? The Operation Sundial attack on Steve Jackson Games. You remember that, right?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay, remember Cyberpunk?
Yes.
It was Cyberpunk that was Steve Jackson.
Sure.
The Cyberpunk game. Hacking is a big thing in this future of, I believe it took place in 2020, but this was in the late 80s that
right.
this happened.
Right.
Or maybe early 90s. But it took place in 2020. And remember hacking into the mainframe, and or they called it the Matrix, I believe, and all that was a big deal. Son, hacking. Not real hacking. Hacking in the game. It was a role-playing game book on how to plug into your, you know, the jack in the back of your head and all this.
Right.
The FBI didn't understand this. The FBI raided Steve Jackson Games and confiscated all their books on hacking. And they were charged with facilitating illegal activity by they were basically charged with providing a manual on how to hack in real life and pretending it was a game.
Right.
Again, are we talking the prosecutors, in this case the FBI specifically, not understanding that if you've ever read these, they're clearly fictional? Or again, we want to make an example, and this looks like an easy target.
Little column A, little column B. Because had anybody picked up that book and read it, I mean, it's like, that's like accusing, you've played BioShock.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
You've told me about it, but I've never played it.
In order to, or maybe it wasn't BioShock, I forget, there was some game where in order to hack a system, you had to play the little pipe game where the water would come slowly through the pipe and you had to make sure that the pipe was connected to the correct outlet, basically, so that when the water did go through, instead of tripping an alarm, you got the hack you wanted.
Okay, yeah, that's not familiar to me, so maybe it was BioShock.
It's kind of like accusing that game of teaching how to hack in real life using the slow-moving water.
Or the Mass Effect, remember when you had to hack the circuit boards in the first game?
Right.
Hey, look, that's showing me how to hack circuit boards.
Exactly. I mean, you know, anybody with a little bit of sense and a little bit of understanding of the culture of gaming and the games behind the mini games knows that that's dumb. No.
But how does this get into the pop culture? How do people believe that this hacking, which if you go to your average Joe on the street, they think hacking is akin to magic. Really, that it's a magic computer that can do these things. How does that get out there? Is that just from how overblown TV and movies have made it? Or is it like a willful exaggeration in your own mind?
Again, a little column A, a little column B. I mean, Hollywood wants to make it exciting, so they exaggerate what they can do. That somehow weasels its way into the popular culture, and you go to those in the know. Let's say we go to U.S. Cyber Command, and we can stand outside the doors and go, hey, can your computers do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And you've got the people in the know going, yes, yes, we can, because they don't want others to know that they can't. And so that weasels its way into the pop culture. Then you have little Timmy at home who is doing a little bit of hacking and he's getting into it and he's learning how to sniff Wi-Fi and crack passwords and stuff like that. And if his friend goes, dude, can you do this? Well, little Timmy's not going to say no. He's going to be like, yeah, I can. Oh, cool. You know, you're my hero, whatever. And so it weasels its way in there. So it's a little bit of willful cover up, a little bit of willful boasting, and a little bit of yes, I am bigger than my britches may
and a little bit of appear. Lying from
a little bit of lying
culture.
And then and then it's also a lot of input from the media and a whole lot of ignorance from a lot of people.
Oh, hell. I'm sorry to keep bringing up Kevin Mitnick, but like I said, he's the highest profile one. Go and watch the CNN coverage of his trial. They basically have him, this is so pre-9/11, they basically have him labeled as a potential terrorist because of the fact that, according to them, he could launch nukes at Russia by having access to a touch-tone phone.
Yeah.
You know, and so the media was, you know, and I mean the media, the news was disseminating these ball-faced lies, really.
Do you know how many stories I have seen circulated in email end up on the local news, though? End up on national news?
Do you mean those ridiculous ones that can't be sourced at all?
Right. That all it takes is sending an intern to Snopes.com and going, type in these keywords and see what pops up.
Oh, I get that. Like every time I see a somebody died on Facebook, I go to Snopes to find out whether they're actually dead. Cause I can't go through that Morgan Freeman thing again. That was a rough 3 days thinking Morgan Freeman died. I can't do that again.
I understand. But I mean,
the best one though, when Tom Sizemore died a few weeks ago, he had a tweet like, "I'm dead," and it's like, no, but that leads me to the other thing. Why would you do that though? Why would somebody go, "Wouldn't it be funny if everybody thinks Tom Sizemore's dead? Let's start. This is funny." Why is that funny?
Why do people work at TMZ and call themselves journalists?
They're not journalists at TMZ.
I know.
I mean, there is such a thing as entertainment journalism. That's a real thing.
I know.
What they do at TMZ, oh my God, the Kardashians had lunch today. That's not journalism.
I know. That's my point. And my point is, you know, regardless of how unfunny something is, somebody somewhere finds it hilarious. Look at movie 43.
No. No one found that movie hilarious. Just
somebody somewhere is like, I can't wait until I get that DVD. Actually, somebody somewhere is going, I can't wait till that comes out on beta.
I don't know if those two audiences crossed, but okay.
They did. But the you know, somebody somewhere thinks that movie 43 is hilarious. Somebody somewhere thinks that defacing Jackalope Radio, which doesn't affect Lost in the Static at all anymore.
Why? We're still on Jackalope.
I know we're still
Saturday
on
nights.
I know we're still on Jackalope, and I'm happy to be there. But defacing their website doesn't stop our distribution.
No, it doesn't stop iTunes. It doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't even think it stops the stream because that's a certain.
That's right.
That's a different. Isn't
and
that?
That's
I think
what
that's
I'm
Loud
saying.
City that does that.
But somebody somewhere thinks that it would be hilarious, and I don't know why. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why. Why are some people don't? Why do some people look at Idiocracy and go, "I can't wait till we reach that point"? Or even better, look at WALL-E. Look at WALL-E audience and look at all of the fat people living on the spaceship. Somebody somewhere goes, that's the perfect life. Why would anyone interrupt that and send us back to Earth?
I don't know.
Somebody somewhere thinks the exact opposite thing you think.
Well, I get that.
Knowing your opinions, a lot of people everywhere think the exact opposite thing you think.
Possibly.
But to someone out there, you're the one that finds the crap funny that they're like, nobody finds it funny. Defacing websites and stuff like that, somebody somewhere finds it funny. I don't understand why a lot of the time, but they do.
Would you consider, and now when I bring this up, I mean the modern iteration of it.
Okay.
Would you consider identity theft to be hacking, where they have their own photo, you know, their photo, your name, your social security number, your birth date, they got credit cards in your name, and they're doing this all over the computer. Would you consider that hacking, or just the same kind of identity fraud that was done in the 80s when you had, you know, a fake driver's license made up and shit like
it's
that.
It's kind of
because, you know, this is technically you're only fake IDing them online. So you have nothing physical of these people.
Right. And yeah, it's kind of a form of hacking because you got to find that information somehow, somewhere from something. And so, yeah, it's kind of a form of hacking, but like I said, it's just plain old fraud and assholery, which has been around since time immemorial. I don't really throw that in. When somebody says hacking, that identity theft doesn't come to mind, because to me, that's just a new version of an old fraud.
It's just an updated crime.
Right.
Well, I mean, now, Let's go in. We'll take our last 15 minutes to go into piracy. Do you consider a leaked movie? Like, say, a week before it comes out in theaters. And I don't mean a cam. Say somebody hacks into the server at, just to throw out an example, Pixar, and gets their new movie and puts it online.
Okay. Yeah, that's hacking. I mean, that's... Again, you're copying files. Are we taking money away from blah, blah, blah? Probably not, because if I really want to see a movie in the theater, I'm going to go see it in the theater, even if I've already seen it.
But then you've got the argument that, like, Eli Roth has about Hostel 2. He says the movie tanked because a really high-quality bootleg of it leaked out. There was, like, some Asian symbol, so from, like, a Chinese, Japanese, right, Korean something right, site. Right. Leaked out 2 weeks, I think, before it opened in theaters. And he said, so, you know, it got downloaded, a million times, according to him.
And
so nobody went to see it in the theater.
And I'll tell you the truth. When it comes to movies and entertainment and pirating that stuff, somebody somewhere is going to leak it. And whether it's, maybe you're lucky enough that it doesn't leak before it hits the theaters. Once it hits the theaters, you're going to have, oh, I don't know, projectionists with a cam and a nice little sink. They're just going to pipe the audio right into the cam, throw the cam right alongside the lens of the projector, and boom, there we go. And you and I
I'm sorry, I must have something in my throat.
I was going to say, you and I wouldn't know anyone that's ever done that working at a drive-in or at a theater. In
of course not. We are Sturgeon completely Bay, complete Wisconsin. Upstanding citizens.
But, you know, so... It's going to leak somewhere, but let's say nobody cams it for some reason. Maybe you do what the fourth Indiana Jones did, and you throw in that 3 seconds of silence in different spaces in the movie, so that you know exactly what screening the cam came from. And
they tried to do that with Kill Bill Volume 1, I think, not the silence thing. They tried to have little verbal tags, like right. In the background of some scenes, it'd be like blue instead of green or things like that, so they could tell exactly where a specific what theater right. was and given a trying, specific print.
They're trying little tricks like that to try and close these leaks. So let's say you don't get a cam leak. Let's say you don't get a telesync link. You got to manufacture your CDs or your CDs. You got to manufacture your DVDs and your 90s? Blu-rays. Yeah, I know. Your Blu-rays and your DVDs. And guess what? It's not getting manufactured here in the U.S.
Well, for instance, no, this was still in the VHS era, but Boogie Nights, the reason the work print leaked out, there was the company, I don't remember which company it was, the company that was tasked with making the trailer. You know, obviously they had to get a rough cut of the film because the film's not locked down right. yet. Somebody in their department made a copy and loaned it to a friend who made a copy for a friend who made a copy for a friend, and it got out. That's how the Boogie Nights work print escaped. There's got to be shit like that. You know, the company that gets all the footage to make the trailer, the company that maybe gets the footage to, you know, if you got a rock band tie-in to edit the music video or something, they or even the composer, you know, if it's not like a single composer, say you got to have an orchestra, the way they usually do it is they watch a silent version of the movie and then either write or score along with it. So that means, say you got a 20-some member band.
And nowadays,
each one of them's got a print, most likely.
And nowadays you've got that guy with the camera right there watching them watch that while they score it, making the behind-the-scenes documentary.
Uh-huh.
You know, the truth is, piracy is now part of life. Deal with it, Hollywood, and deal with it by making movies that I want to see in the theater. I saw the second Star Wars prequel.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones. Long before it hit theaters.
I didn't want to see it in theaters.
And to tell you the truth, I still went to the theater to see it because it's Star Wars and that's what I do. And I have seen plenty of other movies long before they hit theaters. I've seen work prints. I've seen, they got to give a copy to the Oscars for consideration. They got to get working at a video store. You get tons and tons of preprints,
yeah,
and preview copies out there. And I've got to, no, I don't. I don't have any of those on my external hard drive at all. That have the little, you know.
Of course you don't. I always liked the ones in the 90s that had every couple of minutes a scroll would come across the bottom. If you are viewing this and you paid for it, call such and such phone number to report blah blah blah.
And I don't, like I said, I don't have any of those on my hard drive at all.
Neither do I.
And the deal is, you know, it's going to get out. Deal with it. But I don't think that they're losing money from that. I think the reason Eli Roth lost money on Hostel 2
because it sucked
was because it's Eli Roth.
Well, okay, then how about a more contemporary example that really does bring us back to hacking? The Zero Theorem trailer. Terry Gilliam's new movie that looks like a cross between fucking Brazil, 12 Monkeys, and Baron Munchausen.
Right.
Looks really fucking good. And it had Chinese characters all over it, and it was from a Chinese website initially, but of course, whatever studio it is, got it pulled down immediately. They claimed somebody hacked into their server. This was a temp trailer, so it wasn't the final trailer that they were getting ready for the movie. Somebody hacked in. They didn't take the file. They copied it, so they didn't fuck their shit up, and then they leaked it to the internet. Do you think that's necessarily a bad thing? Because technically they did break into whatever the company's system is, and they did say it was from an outside source, that this was not like an employee that took home a copy.
Technically, it's a crime. Technically, it's a crime. That, to me, falls under hacking. Number one, they're going after a corporation, not an individual.
But is it bad that this trailer got leaked out early? And, but no, here's the thing. Let me finish. As I saw it, I am more interested in this movie than I ever was before. Probably more so than when the real trailer comes out.
There you go. It all depends on how the company uses it, and if there have been cases of film studios going, "Oh no, our work print was hacked and leaked. Whatever shall we do?" And you come to find out that it was them that actually leaked it themselves.
Showtime likes to do that. They did that for the season premieres of Weeds and Dexter last year. The copies were, and I'm making air quotes, leaked to the internet.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that they were on such professional screeners and that they actually had the full credits and everything. This has not been confirmed, but the theory is Showtime leaked these to work up, you know, anticipation for the premieres.
And I think that a smart company nowadays, if something really does get hacked and pulled and leaked and we get a work preview of Zero Theorem.
The Zero Theorem.
Thank you.
If it's still out there, I'll show you the trailer. After the show.
Please, please do. But it's still out there.
I made a copy.
I know. Once it's out there, it's out there. But the truth is, it all falls back on the publicity company. I mean, social engineering and hacking is now in advertising. ILoveBees.com.
You've told me about that, but I still don't know.
Yeah. Real life games to promote movie. And I don't mean games as in pew pew laser laser. Right. I mean something somebody sees and goes, hey, maybe this is real, what's going on, and so you kind of get caught up in this altered reality, for lack of a better word.
Then what about something like the Zero Theorem incident, where let's just say, for the sake of argument, because Universal's done a lot of Terry Gilliam movies, let's just say it's Universal. Okay Was Universal right to start sending cease and desist to every single website that was posting the illegal Zero Theorem trailer? Or do you think they should have gone, this is great publicity, we try and play this off as piracy, but we try and use this to spin it to our advantage, instead of going, no, 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 ours, 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 get it down, 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 down.
And that, again, like I said, that depends on Universal. And
that's why I'm asking your opinion.
In my opinion,
they sent out C&Ds to everybody.
In my opinion, they were perfectly within their rights to send out C&Ds.
Oh, I'm not saying they weren't within their rights. I'm just saying I think
they're stupid. stupid.
I think they wasted a perfect publicity angle here. I think they wasted it.
And my advice to Hollywood is, if your shit is leaked, follow Shakespeare's advice for making the world better. Step one, kill all the lawyers.
Yeah, the legal department. Okay, but to a degree, and I can't believe I'm going to side with the legal department here. To a degree, the way copyright and trademark works is you have to constantly defend it and use it. So
yeah.
On a certain legal level, if they didn't at least attempt to defend it,
there you go,
they would lose the copyright, because then it would be seen in the eyes of the law as them giving it up.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying in the Zero Theorem trailer, that's kind of right on that line that,
yeah.
Yes, it was hacking. Yes, it was illegal. Was it really malicious when somebody just kind of wanted to show? It was probably somebody who broke into the system and saw, I've never even heard of this movie. This is really awesome. And most likely wanted to share it with people.
Right.
So I don't think there was anything malicious where they're going, oh, I'm going to leak this and just fuck this company up and fuck Gilliam's new film.
Right.
I don't think it was anything like that.
No, probably not. I would agree with you on that one.
So do you think that hacking in the mainstream, I mean in mainstream consciousness, is more realistic now that people realize you can't launch the missiles from a touchtone phone, that you can't crash NORAD with a laptop, that you can't use a Macintosh to take down an alien spaceship who's filtering the shield signal down from the mothership?
Unfortunately, not enough people know that. Honestly, not enough people know that. So I think
you still think hacking to the most people is, in their minds, magic?
In a lot of people's minds, yeah. In a lot of people's minds, it really is. I mean, just the other day, I had to hack a file at work because my stupid laptop went down, and I had to, well, I'm not going to get into it, but I had to, it was as simple as going into an INI file on a USB stick and changing one line. And I did it because I still called my field support center, and they were like, well, all you have to do is blah, blah, blah. And I went, I already did that. And they went, what? I already did that.
Well, what about then the legality of it? Like, again, going to the fictional version, I'm sure the NSA and all this do this all the time in real life. But like you always see on NCIS or CSI or something, can't you hack into their system? And then they do some typing and they're like, yeah, I'm in there, but this won't be legal. And they're like, yeah, but we got the information. Is that really the right message to send when you're already thinking this stuff is magic, to just proliferate the nonsense of what hacking isn't?
When it comes to legality, I'm not going to comment. I mean, it's the law is just too damned complicated, and if you throw international law in there, it just gets even weirder. And the truth is, laws are going to change. It's not that they have to change. It's not that what's going to do. It's the truth is that as things happen, the law is going to change. But the law will always be behind what can be done with technology.
Oh, yeah.
That's the nature of our system of law.
No argument at all. None
and,
at all.
And so, I don't know. I'm going to see how it plays out. And I think that's one of the signs that I've grown up, is that I'm starting to see both sides of the issue now, because I used to be the real, you know, screw the blue dudes and, you know, down
the
with
blue
all...
blue dudes?
Yeah, the blue line. screw the blue line and down.
Yeah,
with,
but you just went surfer lingo there.
Yeah, I know. Though. Well, it was 90s, you know.
I don't hear you use the term dude very often.
I don't. Not anymore.
That's why it was just...
Maybe that's
it
another...
It kind of took me back, like, dude?
Maybe that's another sign that I'm growing up. But nonetheless, the law will change as it goes, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. So there we go.
Do you think after this episode airs, we're going to get hacked?
Probably.
Somebody will think that's fucking funny.
I'm going to ask nicely, please don't. So, anywho, thanks a lot for joining us. We will see you guys next week.
We'll see.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.